Lord, we do honor you in this place. Lord, I ask you to have your way, my God, have your way. I thank you, Lord, you have been so faithful to us. Lord, as Lisa prayed, oh God, you have been in our midst, oh God, and you have done a great thing. You have brought entrance, oh God, of your light in your life. Now, Lord, one more time, I thank you, you'll be faithful to us. Bless everyone here, I pray, the hearer and the speaker, Lord, that all may glorify you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's a scripture in Matthew, and I'm afraid I can't find it, so I'm not going to ask you to turn there. But if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's a scripture in the Bible, and it talks about Jesus. He approaches a fig tree. And he hungered, and when he came to pick fruit or a fig from it, he found that there was nothing on it. And he cursed the fig tree. And when the disciples came again, and they said, Lord, the fig tree, it has withered so soon. And he said, you don't be amazed at that. He said that you can pray this prayer. You can pray a prayer of faith, that you can ask mountains to be moved, that you can pray in your prayer an incredible thing, and I will hear you. And as I thought about that parable, I was thinking of the connection, this authority that Jesus wants to give us. And how is it that sometimes I walk in so little authority, and I seem to see the effects that I can speak things and things don't happen. And the Lord has me on a journey. He probably has us all on a journey. You know, spiritual authority is about right relationship to Him. It's being by His side as His bride ruling by His side. It's being a daughter who is submissive and servient to Him and want to bring glory to His name and to the house. It's being in this right relationship in all the relationships that He asks us to be in with Him. And in this parable of the fig tree, I began to say, you know, so often the fig tree is representative of Israel. And Israel, as we know at that time, was going to end up very shortly rejecting the Lord Himself. And I thought, Lord, if there is a connection between fruitless religion in me, you know, do you ever get dismayed at yourself? Where you can be so spiritual one minute and so in the flesh in the other? And I was like, Lord, anything that is spiritually, you know, the fig tree, Jesus wanted figs from it, but it was all leafy. It looked like it was going to have something. It looked like a promise of fruit. It looked like a promise of life and true spirituality. But when he got to it, all it was leaves. All it was a show. All it was, you know, the promise of something, but never the substance. I thought, is there a connection, Lord? Between speaking to the mountain, speaking to things in our life, those obstacles, those things that, Lord, we pray for and we want, but sometimes we see so little movement on it. Lord, are you speaking to me about the fig tree and this kind of religion that it really is empty and it's showy, but there's no power in it? Lord, what is it? What is it to have that spiritual authority? Is that your plan for me? Is it your heart that women have spiritual authority? And if it is, how do we get it? If it is, what is it? If it is, what does it look like? And, you know, that I think the greatest example of that would definitely have to be Esther. And, you know, when Esther got on the... Esther was called to be a queen and rule and reign, but the first queen was Vashti. And Vashti had to be dethroned and Vashti had to be removed before Esther could be the queen. And, you know, I like sometimes to call the Vashti in my heart Esther. I like to sometimes give her a name change. But I know that end time women who need to know this spiritual authority that God wants to give us, we surely have to get rid of the Vashti in our heart. Like happened in the kingdom, so that the true Esther could rise up. The Esther that God had planned would give spiritual authority like no woman in her Oriental community before. And it's I was saying, you know, what is it, Lord? What are you speaking to me about Vashti? And when I read the story earlier today, you know, when they grouped together, they basically said that she is a woman who despised her husband. And it, through her example, people were going to be despising their husband. And there was going to be a contempt in the land. And that it said it's not just going to be Vashti, it's going to spread. Because there's something about a community of women, because she didn't want to go to the banquet because she was with her community of women. And there's something about a community of women that can go so right or so bad, can't it? I have been there. And she's just not going to be, this contempt, this despising for husband, just not going to be contained in her. It's going to spread to all of them. And I was saying, Lord, you are speaking something so simple here. Yet sometimes I resist hearing it. But you're saying that there is a contempt, and contempt breeds contempt. And I feel that Lord was saying, we can be contemptuous in one area, and then it leap to husband, then it can leap to people, then it can leap to churches, then it can leap to the nation. And there's a spirit in the land so contemptuous of legitimate authority. And for Esther's to rise and make way for her to the throne, Vashti has to go. And we have to say, Lord, I want you to do judgment in my heart. Wherever this spirit of contempt has got a hold of me, because there are times, there are places where there is a rightful honoring and a rightful thing that needs to, we never need to fear true and rightful God-given authority over our lives. We grow under it. We flourish under it. And we have a spirit abroad that somehow says that demeans us, that we're diminished under that. And if we're going to be women of true spiritual power, then we recognize the Vashti voice that can come in our heart in the subtlest of ways, in the subtlest sometimes, that we can be so right. You know, because I have heard preached, and perhaps you have heard preached, that Vashti had every right not to go. It was a drunken audience. And why should she go parade herself? And it can sound so right. It can sound how we don't deal with a spirit of contempt in our heart. How we won't deal with we won't give the right honoring as Christ asks us to do over those, first of all, in legitimate authority over us. And second, that it's just right and it's just right to do it. And so for Esther to arise, this right ordering, this being able to be spoken to, because, you know, ultimately the bottom of a contemptuous spirit, it cannot be spoken to. And I'm reminded that a snake has no ears. A snake has no ears. And the enemy, who is pictured as a snake, is the picture, the very picture of something or someone who won't listen, who can't hear. You know, and the Bible says being oft reproved hardens their neck. And it was like, Lord, I thank you that you're putting your fear of me in, because I know I could so easily have Vashti rule in my heart and call her Esther and want to learn what true spiritual authority is, but be deceived, because there are some things I don't want to do judgment to. There's some things it's easy to do judgment to. There's some things that have just a way of so humbling us, and that we need that. Because you see, the plan of the Lord is to take us like Esther by his side and to grant to her the full authority of a queen and all that was given her at the end of the book. The Lord wants us to have and to move in that. He wants to restore a beauty in us as women that that Vashti didn't have and Vashti could never hope to have. It's like, Lord, you know, these are tender things. I think these are maybe some things only women can speak to women about. I don't, you know, we might not want a suit saying all this. But praise God, you know what I'm learning? When the anointing hits, it doesn't matter if it's a suit or a skirt or an American accent. it's almost somehow you don't hear it anymore. We just hear his voice. And his voice is saying, well, like Diane brought us to the throne, in this, Lord, in the power of your love, oh God. You see, he loves us so much. You know, people who love you, they can actually say things to you and you can hear them. And the Lord only speaks to us in love for our good, to liberate us, to cause us to be all that we're supposed to be in this end time. And we're called to be Esthers. You and I are called to be Esthers to this nation. And when Vashti finally got out of the way, the scripture says, and when Esther was chosen to be queen, it said in this scripture that she actually did the commandment of Mordecai first. When she first became queen, she did the commandment of Mordecai. And I see this lady as not proud. And that's such a battle. You know, sometimes if we feel undervalued or we feel not heard, sometimes, you know, we just want to hold our little ground. And a pride can set in and we don't want to surrender the ground because our pride says, you know, now I'm somebody, now I'm something. Maybe in the house of God, I know I'm loved and I have an understanding of the word. But in understanding the word, we don't want to give ground. And beloved, and we don't want to honor and we hide and mask things. And I see this girl, here she is raised up to be queen. And little did she know that the commandment from Mordecai, who I believe is a type of the Holy Spirit, who is saying, don't reveal your people. How did she know how important it was to obey that? And I think how many times has God spoken to me and I never knew how really important that one commandment was. You know, I thought that, well, you know, I'm queen now. Esther could say, I'm queen now. I don't really have to live. I mean, I could consider you Mordecai, of course, and thank you for all you did for me. But no, there was something about this woman that was being trained in godliness that I want to look into. There's something about a humility of spirit in her that I so need. That I want to be able to say, Lord, I don't want to be proud because you resist them. And you have something for me. And you have something for you in this generation that I want a part of. And so she could hear Mordecai. And he was saying, you don't show your people yet. And she listened. And then the scripture we know goes on to say that Haman rose up and the fiery one. And he is an enemy of all that is Christ. And he so hates the people of God that he's willing to pay for their destruction. And I think we're swiftly seeing the times we are living in, that there is such an anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Bible, anti-God, that it astounds us in the way it is growing among us. At an ever accelerating rate. And the spirit of Haman could be upon the land. And he's willing to pay because, you know, he's willing to pay. And I think of people who are willing to position themselves, you know, to be the judges, to make the laws, to do anything, to make their voice heard and everything to allow anything except the voice of Christianity. I think Haman might be in the land. And somehow he gets hold of the ear of the king. At one point he had godly rulers, but a season came where a Haman had the king's ear. And Haman, paying now, hating the people of God, hating the very things of God, gets a hold of the ear of the king. And you know the story where he says, I want to destroy, kill, and cause to perish all the Jews. He's not going to settle at a halfway slaughter. And we may be living in a time fast approaching that. He wants all dead, men, women, children, young, old. He is not satisfied while one remains. Why? What is the power of one believer that it must be all go? What is the power of one person sold out to Christ, loving him, knowing her authority? What is the power of one that he has to kill them all? He's so threatened they all have to go. Because is it because the Lord does not save by many or by few? It's not about numbers, and it never was. So he knows for the plan to succeed, they all have to go. Because as long as there's one, there's a threat to him and to his plans. And you know the story, how Mordecai, he stands. It's not proper to stand. It's not proper to stand out. There'd be many of his own company that would have told him to sit down. You're endangering us all. Who told you to stand? Did we give you permission to stand? But the Spirit of God was in that man, and he would not bow. And God will give courage like that. And sometimes we let the enemy paint a picture that says, you know, if you're going to sell out to Christ, I'm going to paint the picture now in your mind what life's going to be. It's going to be nothing but hardship, loss, and misunderstanding. Well, for a season, there might be hardship, loss, and understanding, but we know the end of the story with Mordecai. We got to remember the whole story. And there was one man with the Spirit of God in him that would not bow. And when he would not bow, Haman became inflamed, because what he feared the most was happening, because the one stood. And it enraged him, and he began to be consumed with, how do I make this one man bow? How do I make the Christian bow? How do I make the Spirit of God in a person bow? And he became consumed by that. And we're afraid of that kind of call. But beloved, let me tell you something. One time, you know, I used to be extremely afraid of demons. Petrified of demons. And we took in a foster son, and he was of a native Indian background. I'm from Canada. And he came, and he was living in our home, and he was 17. And he began, and I say that I'm from Canada because we have this special program with native, we call them First Nation people. And he was in this program. He came to live with us, and he dabbled in his forefather's religion, and he became absolutely overtaken by darkness. And my husband, being a policeman, was on a shift where he was gone at 11 o'clock at night. And I remember this so clearly. He was sitting at the table, 17, 6 foot two, about 250 pounds. And I remember opening an oven door and getting a blast of cold air, but it was from behind me. And I turn around, and he is manifesting. And it's all of a sudden, I'm alone. I lived in a farm. No help in yelling at all. And I saw him, and all of a sudden, it was like something, the worst fear I've ever had in my life, the worst thing I could ever imagine is now before my eyes, and I'm living it. And he began manifesting. And all of a sudden, I looked at him, and I can't tell you what happened, except it was like a shaft, a bubble from light absolutely encased me. And I was filled with the love of God for that young boy. All of a sudden, all I saw was he was so wrapped up in darkness and the love of Christ wanting to touch him. And for some reason, I felt like for him to get set free, I had to touch him. I don't know why. I felt, and when I went near him, he started bouncing like a ball under the table, curled up. And then he began hissing like this, like a snake under the table. And I was determined I had to touch him. And this is not me. This was not me 5 minutes ago. And it's like the love of Christ was filling me for him. And he had to be set free. And I go trying to get him under the table. And he swerved out under the table. But he leaped towards around the corner and to the stairs where my two boys were sleeping, my only two children. And I don't know why, but I had a translation. You know, Philip had one, I had one. I don't know how I got from the kitchen to those two stairs where I was eye to eye with this 6 foot two guy. I put my hand on him, and in Jesus' name, and all of a sudden he stopped, and he ran out the door, and he ran down the road. He ran for 5 miles till he came out of that. And God delivered him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He's married today, and he's called us last week. You see, we read the story of Mordecai without knowing what the Spirit of God in us is. Do we need it? Don't be afraid if you're called, Esther. There is something for you that is beyond what we have today. We don't need that anointing today, but we will. And God is willing to give it to us. So this man is standing, and he's standing in the power of the Holy Ghost. And because he is a man of God, he's led now, and he goes to the king's gate, and he's in sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible says that Esther is exceedingly grieved because word gets to her, not of the impending doom of her people. Word gets to her that Mordecai is at the king's gate in sackcloth, and there's a law in the land. You are not allowed to appear at the king's gate in sackcloth. And this is not done. And she doesn't want him appearing at the gate. She doesn't want him doing that. And why is he drawing attention to himself? We can hear it, can't we? Grieved because he's in sackcloth, because he's in mourning, because something's going on. And the king doesn't like when anybody appears in sackcloth, because that represents a higher authority than him. When a man of God, someone appeared in sackcloth and ashes of the children of Israel, they were appealing to the highest the ruler there is. The God, the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. He was bypassing the earthly king who would have liked to have seen himself as God. That's an offense. That's an affront to be appealing to someone higher than Ahasuerus. And the spirit of the Lamb wants to shut everybody down. There's this spirit, even in Christianity. Don't stand out. Don't you make your mark. You be quiet. This is not done. Don't do that. Well, thank God, the Spirit of God keeps that man where he needed to be. And Esther goes and she wants to inquire about the matter. And she learns about it. And she learns about the decree to destroy her people. And then she learns that, you know, Mordecai thinks she needs to do something about it. Now here's where we all identify with Esther. You do it, Mordecai. You're the anointed one. You are the man with the anointing. You are the one with that kind of God-gripped spirit who is fearless. You're God's man. You do it. And thank God he was the man of God enough not to move and say, you're right, I am, and I have the Spirit of God, and I have his mind. And he's saying, you do it, Esther. I have God's mind. And he's saying, this is not for me. This is for you. I have known that. You know what? You know how many times I would love to send my husband to England? I say that because he seems to be the one with the vision. He seems to be the one that knows what's going on. God spoke to him about England and women of England and English women. I never even had the thought in my mind. When one day he turns to me and he goes, you're going to go to England and God is going to use you and you're going to speak to the women and you're not going to speak to them necessarily on prayer, and they're going to rise up and they're going to pray and they're going to be stirred. And really? And then the more he'd speak, the more I'd learn about it. But I didn't have it in my heart. Is that strange to you? Be assured, I do not have the plan. But God does. For you, for me, something so beyond us. I know what it is to say, I really wish you would go. I could hear Esther say, you go, you go. He goes, no, I've got mine, God's mind, you're to go. Why didn't she want to go? Well, I think there might have been many interpretations why she didn't want to go. But out of her mouth, she said, I've not been in the king's presence for 30 days. That could be, you know, I'm not as influential as you think or useful. Or maybe she's just downright honest and say, you know what, my prayer life is not the deliverer type. I'm not this mighty prayer warrior. I've not been in the king's presence 30 days. If you're looking for a deliverer, you might want to check out the handmaidens who pray down there, who seem to have that gift of intercession. But it's not me. I know my pitiful prayer life. I'm not the deliverer type. And I know that would really be my reason not to come. Don't get me wrong, I pray, and I actually love to pray. But when I think of deliverance and when I think of what it's going to take, I'm not the deliverer type. But then again, neither are you. None of us are. Except that God calls us and God says, I'll make you what you need to be. I'm not making a mistake. You are the ones. And you may say, I've not been in the king's presence for 30 days. You might say, it's just not proper that I go in. I don't see myself like that. I don't see that. And beloved, you know something? I thank God that this girl was being trained to have a heart that was respecting the word of God, the ultimate authority over her life and authority in her life. How did she get to the point that she could actually be moved by Mordecai's plea, knowing who she was, knowing what her prayer life was like, being very honest about it at the end, saying, I'm not the deliverer type. I really wish you would go, Mordecai. I think the anointed men should go. I think those who know the Spirit of God should go. But I know me, and actually I happen to live in the palace, and with the doors closed, it's not a half-bad life. You know, but Mordecai speaks, and it's the Spirit of God speaking to her. And he says to her, Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. You see, you can't unsee. Something's being presented to you, and you're learning about the hour you live in, and there is a need, and God has appointed it's going to be Esther. It's not going to be Mordecai. You can't shift it. You can't say, I don't really want to do it, and I don't want to know about it, so the responsibility has lifted. No, it doesn't work that way. You see, when God speaks, when God's call comes to a woman, when God begins to say, I know who you are. I'm calling you in your weakness. It's not a surprise to me. I know what your prayer life is. I know what you consider yourself, and I know the comfortable life you have. But that is not changing the fact that my word is going forward, and it's going to find a place. And the Lord says, Esther, think not that you're going to escape. Think not by, if I don't really want to know all about it, I will escape. No, there's a Haman ruling in the land, and this is the hour. And it's an Esther that's going to deliver, and I'm calling you. And I know who you are. And I'm calling you in your weakness. And I'm calling exactly, I know who I'm calling. But he says, don't think you'll escape by trying to hide and not hear. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God's saying, listen, you have to hear this, Esther. Deliverance is coming. To my people. Deliverance is coming to my people. Enlargement is coming. Relief is coming in this generation and through a woman. And it's coming. Now it can come from another place. And you can totally miss what it is I have to say. And you can totally miss. It's your choice what it is to walk with me and know my love and know my power and know that for all of eternity, what you were called to do for the hour you were doing it, you didn't back away in fear and you didn't back away and look at your flesh and say it can't be done. But I gave you grace to look away from your flesh and look up. I can do that for you. But if you choose not, deliverance is coming. My people are going to be delivered, but it's going to come from another place. So are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? And when I saw it's coming, it's a sure thing. Deliverance is coming to my people. Enlargement is coming. I am saving them from the spirit of Haman. But it'll come whether I'm in or whether I'm out, whether I'm part of it or whether I'm not. I would have been a fool to say, Lord, all send me. This is the winning side. I want to be part of that. And I don't know what all that means. And I know who I am. And that doesn't change you from calling me. Hallelujah. But if you won't hear, deliverance shall arise from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. But who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And an interesting thing is, if you look up that word, art come, it actually means, who knows if you are not sovereignly touched. Art come means touched. It means sovereignly appointed. From the throne. Chosen, Esther. Chosen to be a deliverer. I'll touch you. I'll put that coal on your lips. I'll put my hand in your hand. I'll put my feet in your feet. And you, Esther, you who live in the palace, who don't want to know what's going on, I will put such a spirit upon you that it'll be your chiefest joy to move in the call I have on your life. And you will never live in a more better place. And Esther, you know, she hears this call and then she ends up saying, all right. Let me fast 3 days and 3 nights. But it wasn't a cop-out. Sometimes we will do a religious thing as a cop-out. It's like, you know, buying some time. It's actually, we want to talk all about it, and we will rationalize it, and we will, you know, describe it perfectly, and we've got this to consider and that to consider, all as a guide, so we won't do it. But we will have discussed it. Like Reuben, under JL and Deborah, Reuben had great searchings of heart. Reuben goes to conferences, and Reuben can analyze, and Reuben can tell you from A to Z what all it is about spiritual warfare, but never go to the battle. But she wasn't like that, that prayer and fasting, you know, to put off obedience. No, she said, I'm going to do that so that I have a subdued flesh, so my fear won't take over, so my no's won't in the end be the last word. Subdued flesh before you, oh my God. And then if I perish, I perish, but I'm going in. God can make you like that. If he is putting this in my heart and teams and people here, he can do it. This is the call. This is an Esther hour. And God is not going to call us without equipping us. God is not going to use us without changing us. God is not going to do this without the full equipping. Hallelujah. And so what does she do? She goes in. And you know the story. She goes to the bank. She prepares banquets. And she invites Haman. And the incredible thing is that Haman never knew. He had his eyes on Mordecai. He thought his mortal enemy was Mordecai. He never knew. An unexpected enemy is the deadliest enemy. He never expected it was going to be from Esther. And what happened when Esther moved into her calling? What happened to this woman who had all of a sudden the heart of God, who all of a sudden said, oh Lord, we know who I am, but here I am, oh God, here I am. Change me, fill me, do whatever it takes. And if I perish, I perish. And you know what will perish? Fear. And an unwilling heart, that will perish. You know, we take that first step in fear, and we take that first step very unwilling in our flesh. But God comes. God changes us. God makes us into more than we are. Hallelujah. And Esther did that. And then what happened? The most incredible thing happened is that when she gets to this yes, and she gets to the king's side, and she sees a triumph over Haman, then all of a sudden something even better than that comes. And in Esther 8, the Bible says that the king takes the ring of authority that he had given to Haman. He takes it off. He takes his ring off. It's a symbol of authority. He gives it, the house of Haman, to Esther. And then he gives the ring to Mordecai. There's this right honoring right through her life. And then it says, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And now we're seeing a lady who at one time was under authority, and now because she learned how to be obedient to her Lord and give right honor where honor was due, a lady who was under authority is now moving in authority. And that there's a graciousness to it. And we can't grasp for authority. We can't take authority. It has to be given to us. As women of God, it must be given to us. God will make a place for us. God will make a way for us. But we can't grasp it and we can't take it. It must be given to us. But when it is given to us, what an incredible authority it is. Because she was given the house of her enemies. But in addition to that, it says in Esther 8:5, you don't need to turn there because you're going to look at something in a minute. And it said, she goes to the king and she says, if it please the king, if I found favor in thy sight, let it be written to reverse the letters. Let it be written to reverse the law that Haman wrote. Now she's in authority now, and she is able to rule side by side. She has access to the king's ears. And the king says an incredible thing to her. He says, I've given you Haman's house. Now, he says, write whatever you want. Write the law, whatever you want for the Jews. Write the law concerning whatever you want for the house of Israel. Write whatever you want for my people. Write it, Esther. I'm giving you authority to change the laws. You see, there was a law of sin and death over the land, and she was given authority to write a higher law. She was given authority to break the laws of sin and death in her and around her and in her nation. And she was able, in the right authority given to her of God, it was told her at the right time, you rewrite the laws, Esther, and you write it as you like it. And beloved, that's a picture of Esther. That's you and I going into the prayer closet, and we get to rewrite the law of sin and death over our families. We get to write and cancel the law of sin and death that's against our children, that's against our friends. We get to rewrite the law. We can go into the prayer closet as women of spiritual authority and cancel that law. That's our authority that's given us if we would be an Esther. And Romans 8:2 says it this way. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Beloved, first of all, in our beloved King, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. You and I are made free. We're going to be made free of fear of this. We're going to be made free of the hesitating in this. We're going to be made free in a spirit that says that bashfulness, that reserve, that whatever it is, that's a spirit. And you have every right to break it and move into the freedom of Christ. The reserve, that shyness to hold back that wants to judge the Mordecai, that's a spirit. And you can judge it. You can go to the prayer closet and say, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death that holds me back from your complete and utter will in my life. We're made free. We don't work it up. We don't pray it up. We're made free in Christ because there's a higher law now written in our life because Christ went to the cross and died for us that we may be cleansed by his blood and filled by his spirit. And the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is now higher than the law of sin and death in me. And we've been made free and we go to the prayer closet in that authority and we write the laws in the land. Because that's the Word of God. This is not my story. This is His story. And we pull back and we think that can't be me. That can be so-and-so. No, it's you. If you can say, if you're weak enough, if you can admit that your prayer life is not the deliverer type, if you can say, no, I'd rather be comfortable at home. Thank you very much. I just think you might be an Esther. You just might have a new name. And then after she was given the right to rewrite the laws, the Bible says in Esther 9, it says, the king said to Esther, the queen, now what is thy petition? Esther 9, verse 12. Now what would you like, Esther? I love that. And it shall be granted thee. What is thy request further? And it shall be done. You see, now this woman by his side, loved by her king, and he wants to share that rulership. Amazing. What would you like done, Esther? You're in right relationship with me. You stepped up. You came into my presence, and you weren't turned away. And I was longing to hear your voice. I'm longing to see your face. What do you want? Here is a woman who has spiritual authority. Because, you know, she has that. She got rid of Vashti, that contempt, the pride, the lack of honor, the grasping for authority, the grasping for position. She laid all that. Vashti left. Esther came humble. Esther came meek. Esther said, whatever is the legitimate and rightful authority, I'm not afraid of that. Because, you know, there's a very unique coupling between authority and faith. Because when the centurion came to Jesus, he said, Lord, all you have to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. Because he said, I too am a man under authority. And I'm under authority, but also I give orders. And if I tell the servant to go, he goes. And I know that if you say, because I'm a man under authority and in authority, that you, Lord Jesus, if you just say something like to the sickness, go, it goes. Then it'll be done. Jesus said, I have not found so great in all of Israel. I've not even seen that among my people. But there's something about being under authority, to have authority. There's something about that. And beloved, we don't have to fear the legitimate authority over us. Let us rejoice. It's a training ground. It's a part that gets to our heart like nothing else.
Oh, like nothing else.
Like nothing else. Oh, but I want a quick work done in this old heart of mine. I don't want to go round the bush over and over and over. That's my tendency. No, God, I want you. Here's an open heart. And you say there's a correlation between great faith and authority. And Esther wasn't afraid. And as Esther learned to watch, then she was given the authority. Because, you know, when a heart has been tried by authority and obeyed it, and first authority to Jesus and his word, and then to legitimate our husbands, to honor them, to give them their rightful due, let's go home and shock them. Let's go home and, you know, let it be our joy. Authority to this word, to legitimate authority. Let us honor the leadership in churches. Let us be an honoring people. Let us honor one another. And you will see a faith come into you that will not back up from the Esther call. And a humble spirit. And yet, at the same time, a very bold spirit comes in and can reside in a humble heart because it won't take the glory. God can couple a humble heart with a bold spirit. And he always does that. And today, my beloved sisters, there is much, an incredible amount to be gained by saying yes to the Esther call in your life. Now, for some, this is a call absolutely right now. For some of you, this is going to be a growing word in you. But that's all right. You know, that's all right. But know that this is how God sees you. That in this Haman hour, it's not going to be Mordecai's to be done. This thing is for Esther to do. And Mordecai knew it. And there are men of God that are recognizing this Esther call in the church. And the right placing of you and the right authority will be given you at the right time when the heart has been trained. It will be given. In the meantime, you and I go into our prayer closet. Because we can, in Christ Jesus, begin to rewrite the laws. And beloved, do it. Go. The change in your family. You come and say, I thank you, Lord. You meditate on that scripture. Maybe write this one and put it on your fridge. Know that's your right, that you can go right into the throne and rewrite the law. Rewrite the laws. Rewrite a higher law. That's your privilege to do it as Esther's. It can start now by saying, God, grip me with this truth. This is your truth to me. You're speaking this to me. And Lord, then let my life unfold as it should. And let me at the end of days be found in my place. Let me at the end of my life have said I fully occupied the place God gave me. Let me say I was found to occupy it. You know, an occupier, he doesn't live there. He rules there. But he doesn't call it home. But he rules it. You're called to occupy, Esther. This is God's truth, and it's only his word by his spirit makes these things real to us. Our flesh will quake, and we will back up in fear and unbelief and say, that can't be me. You would be sounding like me a little while back. But I thank God the best thing I ever did was say, here am I, Lord, in my weakness. If you're looking for weak, you've got your Esther. So he has his Esther. Because my weakness is a very little thing to him. How about you? You were called to this conference. You were called here. This is not an open general assembly. This was not open to one and all. Mariette didn't go to her church and say, come one and all. She invited a select few for such a time as this. Lord Jesus, we want to consider what you are saying. Father, I pray that every woman in her flesh, O God, wants to not hear unsee this word, oh God, that you, oh God, in your great mercy and in your incredible tender love, you would come alongside of us, oh God. You would come alongside of us and reassure us, oh God, that this call to be Esther, this great privilege to be an Esther for our nation, oh God, starts in weakness. It calls, it cries out to you, oh God, Lord, I can't, I am not that tight. But Lord, I thank you that you ask us not to look in the mirror. I thank you, oh God, you're not asking us in the flesh to do something. I thank you, God, all you're asking is for a willing heart, that you may come and you may infuse your courage and your strength. Lord, we can't unsee now. So, Lord, I thank you that this word, oh God, will follow us. I thank you these truths, oh God, have been planted into our spirit. And I thank you, Lord, in the fullness of time, in walking the path of being a true woman of spiritual authority, that God, you will unfold it as it should. Lord, there is no pressure in this. There is no anxiousness in this. Oh God, if it happens, it's because you performed it. And Lord, now we just open our heart up to your will and your way. And God, I ask you now to send an accompanying peace and rest, that Lord, we're not called to make anything happen. We're just called to be available. That, Lord, we see, oh God, that it's you who does the transforming. It is you who does the empowering. You will change us to what we need to be. But, Lord, I thank you that it just starts, oh God, by going into our prayer closet and believing your word to us, that there is a higher law that cancels sin and death in us and around us. And I thank you, God, that you are training us, oh God, to break every spirit upon us, oh God, that would hold us and keep us back, Lord, from your perfect will. And that, Lord, your plan is so beyond what we could know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We don't do this in our own strength. Thank you, God, the call to Esther is a call to women who know who they are. Lord, not trying to pretend to be anything spiritual. Really know who they are at the end of the day. But thank you for incredible love, Lord, that you say we make a difference. We put our hand, our will, and our heart in yours. And Lord, you will lead us into a place by faith that is life. And that, Lord, our call is to make a difference in our generation. And Lord, we tremble in ourselves, but Lord, I thank you that we don't keep looking there. Now, thank you, Lord, for the equipping, an incredible love, an incredible peace, and an incredible joy. Every time we consider this call, oh God, you will visit us with this. And you will make us willing to be made willing. And Lord, you will open our eyes to see the times. And you will move upon us in a way we never thought possible. Oh God, I thank you that you join us to rule and reign by your side, Lord. That you may give us, oh God, an incredible spiritual authority because we've been trained. Lord, I thank you now for every woman in this place. I thank you for her. I thank you, Lord. The Lord said that one day can make an incredible difference. I believe in this place God is faithful to his word. And right now, courage and a heart of a lion is being given you. And you're not backing away from what you're hearing because you know it's not in your own strength. You know you've been called. 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 And I rejoice for the many hearts that have said yes. And those that are struggling with the yes. My beloved, you, God is not angry with you. He's dealing with you. He, in his tenderness, is going to bring you to a place of victory, to a place where the call on your life will go forward and it will unfold as it should. Do not let this word cause anxiety. It is he alone can bring it to pass. We just open our heart and watch him do the miraculous, Esther. Hallelujah. We honor you. You are in our midst, O God. We make room for you. We make time for you. We are at your bidding, O God. We thank you, O Lord. What we've prayed for and believed for, God, you are birthing now, Lord. We make place for you, O God. The King has come, O God. We are before you, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, O God. Have your way. Isaiah 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. And why must there be this response? For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And that's his heart. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, because thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go from thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gathered themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. And beloved, I have been thinking, God, what is the step? What are you saying to us? What do we leave with this thing? The Lord said to me, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. And that scripture that says it's vain for you to wake up, stay up early, everything, what the Lord is saying, to gather in the heritage and the dead, first and foremost, this is my work. And I have come, and it says, I want you to break forth, because I have come, and I have come to comfort thee and to strengthen thee. And there will be in our flesh, God, have you forsaken me? We look where we miss it and where we might be missing it. And Zion says, have you forsaken me and have you forgotten me? And God is saying, never, never. He said, I feel the Lord is saying, this is what I want you to do. We've heard the word, and it says the work of God is to believe him. And every day we get up and we believe God. And if every day we intentionally say, Lord, I believe you, we will be drawn into prayer. We will pray just the very act, God, I'm going to believe you today. And then God will quicken you what you are to believe for. Whether it is to believe for a known issue in our heart, whether it is to believe for a son or daughter gone astray, whether it is to believe for a situation, a rupture with a sister-in-law, whether it is to believe for finances. God says every day you rise and say, God, what would you have me believe for today? For the work of God is to believe him. And then, beloved, we worship. We worship him. And what do we do when we worship? It is in spirit and in truth. Anything that God has to say to us, we agree with him. That's walking in truth. Anything he has to say. If he's saying, you're troubled, my daughter. There is this thing in your heart. Then if it's something that he wants to bring to light, to make our crooked path straight, like we heard from Haley. Yes, indeed. Then we just agree with him. And we walk in truth. We're women of truth. And we worship in spirit. And whatever that means, maybe we just have a dim view of what that is. But it's like, Lord, you will teach me. Every day you will teach me what it is to worship in the spirit and walk in the spirit. So every day we determine to believe him. And we will go to prayer. Because the women who received their dead back to life were women who were found in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. And this thing, God is training us now. It's a hidden time. You are going into a hidden time. You are going into a place where God is doing something very deep in your heart. He's taking you to a place you've not been before. And we trust him. We get up every day and believe him. And we don't believe the lie of the enemy that wants us to look at what we see. No, this is an inward journey. And God says, I am with you. And as Esther, the word was brought to her. What to do was brought to her. The word gripped her time at the time of her revealing. You don't have to worry about when that is. God will bring it to you. Jael was in her tent, and as she was a woman who was in her mind learning to worship, in her mind learning to believe, God brought the enemy to her house. Beloved, we don't have to carry a burden of God, what next? We go and we believe God every day in our homes. We go about our washing, we go about our cooking, and we go about believing God at the same time. We go about our daily business, and we learn what it is to be women who wait in hope. I heard that word read in our wait in hope. We begin to women who wait in hope. God will give the next step. We don't have to be burdened about it. We wait in hope. We wait in expectation. That's waiting in belief. That's believing God is waiting in hope. And He will bring it to us. He will contract our heart. This weekend is because a woman got gripped with conviction. The next step is we will be gripped by something. But till then, every day we believe God. Every day we believe God and we worship. And then it will flow from there. And we don't have to worry, have I done something to grieve you? Have you forsaken me? No, He says, I'm here. I'm rejoicing over you. This is the most awesome thing. And you must know, you must be strongly confident that I am with you. Be strongly confident I am pleased in you and this response of your heart. And I will fashion you. I will do the work in you. You just keep opening your heart and believing me for every step of the way. And beloved, He is going to visit this nation because He's visiting you. And He's visiting me. This is His work, not our work. We're not supposed to know, except that this word that we've heard today is going to be the next step, a lamp unto our feet. And then we need to a light unto our path. A word has been deposited in you and it shall not go void. A word has been put into you and you're going to draw on it many days. You're going to feed on it many days. The Holy Spirit will call to your remembrance something that He said to you this weekend. And it will be that light and the lamp. It will be a wall on either side of you. It will be courage to your heart. It will be wisdom. It will be strength. It will be all that it needs to be. You just say thank you and rest and have strong confidence in your God. Those that entered the land entered into His rest. And this nation needs to see women, not long-faced religion, but they need to see women glowing and radiant with a confidence in their God that know that the dead are going to be resurrected. Not it's any great thing we're doing, but God visits us in our poverty. God visits us in our weakness because this is His heart. This is His mind. This is His work. And we wait on Him and we believe on Him every day. We worship in spirit and truth. Everything crooked in us gets made straight. And don't even worry. We don't have to set our hand to make ourselves straight. God will do that. He will do that. It's Him. It's Him. It's all Him. We can't resurrect the dead. It'll be Him. And have this rest. Don't leave burdened. Don't leave now, I'm going to drop the ball and I'm going to miss God. No, no, no. You are not. I know you are not. I know you are not. Because He is not going to let that happen in us. That's His work. We must be women now that can rise in faith, confident in Him. We look away from our flesh. We are confident in Him, and He will perform it. He will perform it. This immense task. The same task was given to an 80-year-old man with a stick. Now that in this day, it's being given to women who want to believe God and will believe God. And we'll believe God because we'll be quickened and stirred to. Hallelujah. The Lord will build His house.